Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Sharks fans, welcome to Dudes on Hockey, episode 50. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
What up, dude?
What up, dude? First of all, I got to congratulate the fans that are still with us because we saw a little drop off last week. You know, it's like we were talking and that's pretty much who we were talking to.
Dude, no, we've got some loyal listeners, dude.
We do.
We want to thank you for this. Is the tough times. This is the lean. This is the Hooverville of hockey right here.
That's right.
We're living in the shanties on the street. It's the depression.
It is, and I was going to say the exact same thing. Those of you that are listening to us,
you were going to say Hooverville.
I was going to say Hooverville, but I'm saying that the listeners that are still with us at this point, you can pat yourselves on the back because this means that you are true Sharks fans, hardcore. Sharks are out of the playoffs. We got 2 weeks off, at least 3 weeks off. Nothing's happening. Very little is happening. Hockey's still being played. It's depressing to watch other hockey being played, and you're still tuning into Dudes on Hockey. So I congratulate you, one and all.
Dude, I have an announcement.
Okay.
I have an announcement. I haven't even told you this yet, dude.
Does it have to do with Hooverville?
No. No. This is my last podcast, dude.
What? Dude?
I've made a decision. I'm signing with Salavat of the KHL. And I'll be joining Victor Kozlov.
You're doing your Victor Kozlov.
In
yes.
the Continental Hockey League.
Nice.
So, thank you very much for a good time. But there's no taxes over there, dude.
That's true. That's true. I'm sure they can give you, some pretty decent rubles over there.
The pierogies are delicious.
Awesome. And the borscht. Very, very good.
Cold beet soup is what I like.
It's my favorite.
All right, let's get to hockey, dude.
Let's get to hockey. There are two small shark stories, which we have to dredge up from the bottom of the pool because it's what little news there is for us. And the first is not really even related to the Sharks. It's only related to a Sharks player that is going to be unrestricted in about a month, and that is Jeremy Roenick. Jeremy Roenick opened his big yap again.
You gotta love him.
Yeah, you gotta love him. And he started
what'd little, he say, dude?
He started a little something something with Mike Babcock, the coach of the Detroit Red Wings, and about Chris Chelios, his old teammate on the Blackhawks. And he said that here's the quote. He said, "I will say this. I talked to Chelios. He's one of the great friends I've made in the game. If you just know some of the things that Babcock says to Chris Chelios, it would make your stomach churn. Just total disrespect for not even one of the best Americans, but one of the best defensemen to ever play the game. The way he's talked to is just unacceptable. I wish I could elaborate, but that's not proper. It's just disrespectful." And then he went on to say something about how he doesn't like Americans, or Babcock doesn't like American players. And so Babcock fires back and says, "I don't know what JR's talking about." Or Chelios says he doesn't know what JR's talking about. And Babcock says, "Two of my kids are American, so that kind of takes the grudge off Americans thing." It's funny. Just a little drama here, you know? Just stirring the pot.
It's good. It's good. Healthy drama.
Yeah. It's good. I don't know.
Dude, JR's bored. JR needs to be playing hockey right now.
Yeah.
And he's bored. They're playing his team, the Chicago Blackhawks, the team he's going to go into the Hall of Fame as, the Chicago Blackhawk. So he might be trying a little bit of diversion there.
Could be.
Don't you think, dude? Maybe
a little bit of
a diversion. I can see what Babcock is saying to Chelios.
He's old.
Yeah. Hey, listen, you're old. You're not very good anymore. Why are you still on the team?
Right.
Maybe Babcock doesn't have an inner monologue. Have you thought about that? He might be thinking these things, but they just kind of come out.
He just says it.
Chelios played in the last game because Nick Lidstrom, I guess, maybe pulled his back lifting all his Norris trophies. I don't know what happened to him, but he didn't play. And Chelios played 4 minutes in a laugher.
Yeah. And they crushed Chicago.
They crushed Chicago, and he still didn't put him out there. So, listen, Chelios probably had a few Jack and Cokes and told Roenick something at a charity event, and then JR might have had a couple Coronas and to talk about it. I don't know.
They were playing golf. They had a couple shots at the turn. Chilia says, you know, Babcock's a jerk, and
there's some I think there's definitely
there probably is, and you know, maybe Babcock doesn't like American players. He says, you know, maybe he doesn't, it's not that he doesn't like all Americans, maybe he just doesn't like American hockey players. You know, that's, I mean, hello Don Cherry, you know. that's certainly not a completely unheard of situation, but I don't know, but it certainly sounds like JR has a little bit of inside info, because he certainly said he wished he could elaborate, so he knows something.
Sure.
But, you know, Chelios isn't going to sour his relationship with that organization by bashing Babcock during the playoffs, nonetheless. That's not going to happen.
Well, maybe we'll hear it next year when JR is commentating if he doesn't play.
Yeah.
We'll hear the full story.
I hope we do. The second is about an assistant coach for the Sharks, Todd Richards, who is reportedly in the running for the Minnesota Wild game. And didn't you see something on TSN?
Yeah, today Darren Dreger was on NHL Live and said that he believes that Richards is the front runner for the head coaching job of the Minnesota Wild, that mm-hmm. he kind of fits the bill of what the new GM up there, Fletcher, is talking about, how he wants to play an up-tempo game. Richards is went to college in Minnesota. He's a Minnesota guy. Sounds like we could be looking for a new assistant coach, dude.
That's right.
Todd Richards. Hasn't happened yet, but seems like that could be on the horizon. He was being bandied about here for the Oilers gig, but now we've got this bizarre two-headed coaching monster that came out today.
Yeah, Tom Rennie and Pat Quinn leading the charge, with Tom Rennie as an associate coach. So is that his way of saying, yeah, you're a little bit better than the assistant coach, but you're not the real head coach? I guess that's sort of the situation.
I guess. I think it's kind of a weird arrangement they have there. It's like, well, when Pat Quinn isn't going to coach anymore in 3 years, we have an unwritten understanding that,
yeah,
you know, we're going to let you be the head coach, but if things don't go so well during Quinn's third year, you're both fired. Bye!
Yeah, it's sort of like the Tony Dungy and the other guy, like he picked his successor. Is that what this is? He's picking his successor for the Oilers, because Pat Quinn's no spring chicken. I mean, he'll be one of the older coaches in the NHL, and maybe he might only be staying there a couple, 3 years.
Now, I mean, who knows? Mike Keenan could be coaching there soon.
Yeah, you never know, because he's gone too. That's weird. First of all, I got to keep my streak going, dude. Number 50, two Sharks that, frankly, I've never heard of. Hannes Haivonen and Yaroslav Oteveral.
Nice.
Yeah.
So, no clue.
If Sharks fans, if you've heard of these guys or seen them play, my hat is off to you, because I can't even say I've really heard their names previously. They certainly don't have a mosaic of their faces on the front of the tank in San Jose. So.
I just saw that both those guys just signed with the KHL.
I think you're right. Amazing. But, dude, we got to continue our trajectory of answering the big questions for the Sharks organization. We answered two of them last week. What are they going to spend was number one. Two, what are they going to do at the top with the leadership of the team, the top guys? We answered those questions, so please listen to that last podcast, episode 49, if you're interested in our answers. And so we continue this week with two more questions. Step number three, what do we need? And step number four, who do we keep?
Right.
So let's just get right to it. What do the Sharks need? I have three things on my list. I think we have similar ideas of what the Sharks need.
Yeah. The first thing that I know that we both agree on is that we need a number two defenseman.
Mm-hmm.
And what we were talking about off the air is that the teams that made it to the final eight, all of those teams had a better top two defensive pairing. Maybe they didn't play together, but they had the two better defensemen than Boyle and whoever you want to say is the Sharks' second best defenseman.
Because
right?
We can't assume it's Blake at this point. So we're talking about this coming year, right? Blake is not signed for sure. We don't know if he's
coming. Come on, dude.
Back.
It was an E4 this week.
E67, whatever it was. But Blake is not definitely on the roster next year. So assuming that Blake leaves, and I think some people are assuming that.
I think it's even assuming Blake's on the team.
Right.
Not good enough.
I think you're right.
Not good enough. Not. I like Blake. Hope he's back. Great complimentary player at this point in his career. This isn't going to match up with what these other teams are putting out there.
So we're drinking the EJ Raticulade, who said a few episodes back that the Sharks, there's a little bit too much drop-off between Boyle and the rest of the cast of characters. And even Blake had a good year, but he's not quite up to the task. And if you look at all these other teams, look at Detroit, they got Lidstrom, but then they got Rafalski right behind him. You know,
right?
And if you think of which of these guys is better than the number two, number three guy, which would be Vlasic, Aarhus, Blake. Okay, well, Detroit, you got Lidstrom and Rafalski. Chicago, you got Campbell and Keith and Seabrook probably that are better. And in Anaheim,
you had Niedermeyer, you had Boschman, you had Pronger,
and you had
Wisniewski.
Yeah, maybe four.
And
guys.
Ryan Whitney.
Yeah.
I mean, you might be able to say that all five of those guys
are
better than whoever we have at number two, which is why we may have lost that game.
Right. And the Penguins, they have Gonchar and Letang.
Mm-hmm. Scuderi's played great.
Hal Gill's played well.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Boston, although they got eliminated, they have Zdeno Chara and Dennis Weidman, who I think I made a sort of a haphazard case earlier in the year that maybe he might even be better than Chara this year. His numbers were almost comparable. So this is the problem. This is the biggest issue, I think, for the Sharks this year is the number. This number two Boyle's the number one. He's the number one on almost every team in the league. But I would want to put, you know, I think you put Vlasic or you put Aarhus with Boyle, and then you get a good number two guy, and then you play the Ducks model, which is you have a good, really good defenseman out there 50 out of 60 minutes or 45 out of 60 minutes. That's what you want.
And when the game's on the line, you put them together.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you want to be facing, you're either facing Pronger or Niedermeyer the entire game. I mean, that just sucks. That's what the Sharks need to do. They need to get a guy out there that there's no respite for the other team. Okay, we can just wait till Boyle's off the ice, and then we can just do, and then we can step it up and really play that matchup. We don't want there to be a good matchup against the Sharks D.
So are you saying you don't think this type of player or this player is in the roster or in the system right now?
I don't think so. We've talked about Nick Petrecki. We like Nick Petrecki, but the
not
way
for two more years.
Not for 2 years. And Derek Jocelyn's played pretty well in Worcester. He's an all-star AHL player. But he's not going to step in and be a number two guy this year for the Sharks. The Sharks are serious about winning the Cup. You know, Patrick Marleau's unrestricted after this coming season, and then Joe the year after that. You can say the Sharks have a 1 to 2 year window, and none of the guys in the system right now are poised to fill that role. The Sharks have to find it someplace else.
So this is a player that we need to go out and we need to get. What's another thing that you think we're missing, dude?
Well, I know I've talked about this in previous shows, and what I have written here is I have agitator/a-hole. That's what we need.
We do you have your own name next to it?
Yeah.
How? Hell.
We don't just need a guy that's a pain in the ass. We need a guy that's a pain in the ass and a jerk. You know, and people have talked about this team being too nice to play against. I mean, Ian LaPerriere. We need a guy that people actually hate. Not just one of those guys, oh, I respect him because he plays hard and he hits hard and we need Brian Marchment, like a guy that people really, really dislike intensely.
Completely, totally agree with you.
Right.
This type of player is desperately missing from this team. We don't have a guy like this.
I mean,
on the roster,
Jody
we've
Shelley's
been begging
great.
For it. Yeah, Jody Shelley, and you know, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but mm-hmm. I'm not sure what his future is on this roster. I really don't know.
It's tough,
and I like him, and I think he's a great character. I like what he brings to the team from a teammate sort of thing. But you know, when you can't even throw him out there in a playoff game and have him have any sort of impact, and you don't trust him at all,
mm-hmm.
which clearly Ron Wilson didn't trust him and McClellan didn't trust him, so there's something wrong,
right?
Then you have to question his overall role. But, you know, there's players out there to be had. There's a lot of unrestricted free agents in this type of role. Tuomo Ritu. Tuomo Ritu.
Yeah, you were talking about Tuomo. I mean, he is a guy that's a real jerk. I mean, everybody hates him.
But this guy can play.
Yeah.
And this guy, you know, looking up his stats real quick, he had 54 points in the regular season.
Wait, isn't Jarkko Ruutu the jerk, though?
I think I'm looking at his picture right now. Looks like he just got punched in the face. If you look at his picture on Yahoo, he had 79 penalty minutes. Tuomo Ritu is the one who got traded. No, Tuomo Rutu's the jerk. He's the one in Chicago who took a run at Kyle MacLaren.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, this guy...
Actually, I think either one of the Ritus probably qualifies, because I think Jarkko Ritu's a jackass as well.
Well,
sign
bring one
up.
Of their agitator a-hole over to the team. Chris Neal is a player that fits this mold as well.
I like Chris Neal very much.
So, you know, if you can add one of these guys, I think that'd be awesome. But, you know, we're not supposed to be getting specific yet. I'm sorry. I'm jumping ahead of myself. So do you think that there's a player like this laying around? in our system.
Well, the question is, there's only one guy, in my opinion, that might be that guy, and that's Brad Staubitz. Can that be Brad Staubitz? Can Brad Staubitz come up and play decent minutes, actually contribute a little bit more than just fighting? I don't know if he's that kind of player that is going to be mean about it. You know, I worry about that. He's a tough character. There's no doubt about that. No one's questioning his toughness. But is he going to be the guy that's going to be the instigator, the agitator guy, or is he just going to be a tough guy?
Yeah, I think he's not ready for that type of role, and I don't know if his game has that type of game to it. I think what Staubitz could be for us next year is kind of fill the role that a player like Mike Brown filled for the Anaheim Ducks. I mean, Brown played some pretty significant minutes for that team as far as when you say significant. I mean, looking here, he played 6 minutes, 7 minutes every game. But he was out there.
Yeah.
And in the series against us, I felt like he was everywhere.
Yeah.
That guy was everywhere. He was an energy player. I think Staubitz is that kind of guy. He hits you every single time and calls you a dirty name.
Right.
And then he's off the ice. But we're looking for a guy here that can play 15 minutes. He could score a goal. He could play on the power play. We need Sean Avery, but not Sean Avery.
Yeah. Chris Neal. I mean, that's the guy that I keep thinking about.
Yeah. Chris Neal, we know he was on Doug Wilson's radar. We know there was a trade that was discussed that maybe Chris Neal, unrestricted.
Only made 1.2. That was his salary this past year. Get him for $1 million, $1.5 million. I think that's money well spent for sure.
Absolutely. We'll have to see what happens there, dude.
Okay. I have a third thing on my list, which is more of a footnote. That's a goalie plan. I don't necessarily think we need a number one goalie. We talked about Nabby last week, how players generally have a pretty good thing with the contract year. Nabby's in his contract year. So I think that's the situation. I think we sort of talked about this logjam of goalies we have in the minor league system. So the Sharks need to get a little bit more clear about what are they going to do with all of these guys, because they traded one at the deadline to get Travis Moen. They traded... the trade Timo Palma.
Yes.
So and they still have Stalock, and they still have Tyson Sexsmith, and they still have Thomas Greiss. So they still got three guys, all of which could be legitimate NHL players. So we got to figure out what's going to happen with Nabby. Or is Nabby going to play awesome? We're going to give him another 2 years, and then we start trading goalie prospects. I mean, those are sort of the two ways the Sharks could go in this thing.
I think you're absolutely right. That's how it's going to go. If Nabby plays great this season, he has a great year. Sharks make a deep run, you know, either conference finals or Stanley Cup finals, then they keep him. You keep him. If they don't do as well, if he underperforms, if he gets injured, if he starts having injury problems again, I think the plan is Greiss or Stalock. I think those guys are around right now. I think Greiss, you know, if we're saying, you know, a goalie plan, I think Boucher, you know,
may not be part of the plan.
May not be part of the plan.
Yeah.
I think Greiss is part of the plan. Greiss will be up next year. Greiss should play 25 games, see what he's got. Let Stalock play the majority, two-thirds of the games in the AHL, and see if he can hold down the fort. And then you make decisions after that. But I think that is the plan. I think, you know, people shouldn't be looking for the Sharks to get a veteran backup next year. I don't think that's in the team's big picture best interest.
I think a guy on Bala, California today actually said that maybe the Sharks should go after Luongo if Luongo could be had. And I think some of the commenters said, and I posted and said, you know, is this really where the Sharks want to be spending their energy, is to get Luongo? Because it's not like they're just going to be able to give up Nabby for Luongo. It's like they'll be giving Nabby plus crap, you know, Nabby plus good prospects, probably picks as well. And
you're not going to trade Nabby and Pavelski and Logan Couture for 1 year of Luongo.
Right. And that's what they're going to want.
Because look how great Luongo's done. I mean, listen, probably the top three goalie in the regular season. But what has he done in the playoffs?
Not any more than Nabby. No. At least not yet.
Not yet.
So, yeah. So I don't think you spend all your time and effort trying to get a guy like that. We already got a guy, and we got guys on deck ready to play.
Dude, I've got one more thing
on
my list. An impact top six forward. Okay?
Yeah, just now, one more little thing.
No, listen, dude. Listen. Now, this is my question to you, because I think that this could be solved from within what we already have.
Okay.
Mahalik, Chichu, unacceptable production this year.
Yes.
Agreed?
Agreed.
Mahalik, regular season, fine. Playoffs, giant bomb.
Yeah.
Stinky, silent but deadly.
Right.
Terrible. So, you know, either you're asking one of these two guys to step up their game, or are there players in the system like Couture and McGinn that are the solution to this problem, and you cut bait with one of these other guys?
Yeah, see, I don't see that as really trying to find a top six guy. I think it's more like leveraging the extra top six guy or one of the guys we don't like in the top six to get one of the other things we talked about. Because I think, you know, trading Chichu, trading Mahalik to get one of these two things that we need, get a good defenseman, that could easily be...
So if you trade Mahalik to get a number two defenseman, mm-hmm. then you've just created a problem. So what I'm saying is, do we have the depth within the system to solve that problem? Are we just creating another void?
I think we do have the depth within the system to solve that problem. I think I like what Jamie McGinn's done. I think you give him a shot. Logan Couture's already shown that he's going to be good. Maybe he's too young to play next year. I could even see Torrey Mitchell playing top 6 minutes. Mm-hmm. If Jonathan Chichu catches fire and one of the two guys is still around, you could sort of fill in Cheech and maybe have a little bit of a rotation. Have a little bit of that internal competition that Mike Ricci was talking about. Hey, earn the power play time. Earn the 15 or 16 minutes you're going to get, or you're going to get put back down. You're going to get 12 minutes. You know, maybe a little bit more of that healthy competition might help the Sharks a little bit in that area.
With the Sharks, I look at their roster. They have five top six wingers. They've got Klo, they've got Chichu, they've got Marlowe, who's playing on the wing, Seto, and Mahalik.
Mm-hmm.
None of those guys should be playing third line minutes. They're not third line players.
Well,
they don't know.
Chichu.
Well, he's not a third line player. He's not going to be productive in that role. He's not good defensively.
Yeah.
We saw what happened.
Mm-hmm.
So if he's the odd man out, then he's got to go.
Yeah.
They've got to address the third line, what we're talking about.
That's right. Okay, we got to get on to step four, which is who do we keep? We got a big long list of unrestricted and restricted free agents. And so we're going to go down the list. We can do a little priority order if you want, or we can just sort of go down whichever order you want. So I know you had questions about restricted free agency, dude. Do we want to clarify that stuff, or should we just dive right in?
Well, let's dive right in. We might go with it as we hit the names here. We're going to go unrestricted first.
Right. That
All right.
List is shorter.
So, and we're even doing some players that are playing in Worcester, like someone like Brendan Buckley,
mm-hmm.
Brad Westgarth. These guys are depth defensemen.
Right.
So, you know, they're at the AHL level, they're unrestricted. You know, they've been journeymen. You know, to see one of them stick probably wouldn't be surprising, but they're not on the Sharks roster radar.
Yeah, they're not really.
What about a player like Ryan Vesey?
Ryan Vesey, I say no.
No.
I say no for Ryan Vesey because I like Ryan Vesey. I think he's a good AHL player. The stuff that we saw, he's 27 years old. This guy doesn't have a lot of room to grow. Usually when you're 27 or 28 years old, that's usually the peak of your career. Ryan Vesey is about at the top of his game at this point. And I think you got a guy that's 5'7", 165 pounds. He needs to have an amazing set of hands or an amazing extra gear like Martin Saint-Louis does. You know, Martin Saint-Louis is great in traffic. He's got a good scoring touch. I don't think Ryan Vesey is elite in either of those areas. I say you let him go.
I say we keep him just mainly because he's the captain of the AHL team. He shouldn't be on the big club's radar. They shouldn't bring him up, period. Mm-hmm. He's Mike Eagledon too. You know, right. Doug Wilson likes to have a guy like that, a veteran guy, someone who can score at the AHL level. But I really think if they keep him and if Couture is down there, they should scale back his minutes. Couture should be getting the lion's share of the minutes. But I say you keep Vesey. Last year, he didn't even make $500,000. So
yeah,
it's not like a huge expense. Yeah, you know, give him a little bit more, maybe a $50,000 raise, see if he wants to stay. If he doesn't, he doesn't. What about Corey LaRose and Tom Cavanaugh?
Sort of the same deal. Neither of those guys are really going to sniff the NHL. I don't know if it's really worth saying much about him.
Okay.
Here's a name for you. Kyle MacLaren. Yeah, exactly.
You're torn, aren't you? I'm saying that if I'm Kyle MacLaren, I would be walking out of town, middle fingers raised, and, you know, trying to find a job somewhere else. I'm not sure because of how he wasn't able to prove that he's NHL caliber player this year because he couldn't get on the ice.
Yeah. And he got hurt again in the playoffs, I think.
So he might be in a real bind.
He might be in a real tough spot. He may not be able to find an NHL job at all. Well, I think that's pretty likely, actually, to be honest with you.
I think somebody, I mean, Dennis Gauthier found a job last year. You know, someone might sign him for a mil one year.
I guess it could happen.
You know, bring him on. But the Sharks, I have a hard time seeing that happening.
Frankly, if he could take $1 million and play the seventh D-man role and be a healthy scratch a lot of nights, I would rather have him than Semenov, which is our next name. I think I'd rather have him than Semenov.
Oh, I'd rather have him than Semenov, there's no question. But right. I don't think that he's... I can't see Kyle MacLaren accepting that role. I mean, he's a man. He's got pride. He got sent down to the AHL. I just think it's going to be hard for him to come back into that locker room.
Yeah.
Hey, look, it's the guy who got sent down.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
I don't know. He didn't deserve that. I'm sure the players know that too, but
yeah. So what about Semenov then?
Semenov,
you don't want to keep him?
No.
I think you keep him. I think you got to. Dude. You need a seventh guy. Then it's Huskins. It's either Semenov or Huskins.
Huskins. Much rather have him.
Hasn't played a single game.
I don't care. He's won a Stanley Cup. Yeah. He played significant minutes for a team that won a Stanley Cup, and Alexei Semenov has been on like 5 NHL teams in 4 years.
Yeah.
Get rid of that guy.
I don't think he's going to be able to keep Huskins.
He's reached his ceiling. We've seen what it is.
Yeah.
He's a gigantic tree with skates. I don't think he offers anything positive other than, you know, maybe some good locker room fodder. Right. Pin the tail on the Semenov.
We're really crashing this guy.
Sorry.
I mean, it's Huskins, Semenov, or McLaren. You need one of those guys. And I'm not sure we're going to be able to get Huskins or McLaren. That's why I say Semenov.
Dude, I got to say, I think our seventh defenseman's already signed, and it's Brad Lukowich.
Okay.
I would rather see one of the younger defensemen, Jocelyn or Moore, play the six-man minutes and have Luko be the seventh guy. I think you got to let one of these young defensemen who played well at the AHL level sniff that spot, dude. I'm saying no to Semenov, no to Huskins.
Okay, so Blake and JR, Blake, JR, and Greer are the top UFAs here. So Blake, I know we've talked about in previous podcasts. I say yes for the right price. I don't want
to pay. What's the right price?
Has to be under $4 million, hopefully under $3.5 million. That's my price. $3.5 million is the tipping point for me.
That's going to be hard.
I know. That's why I think that's going to be a tough decision for the Sharks organization. JR... if he wants to come back, you sign him. If he doesn't want to come back, then he's gone. That's pretty much it. I mean, you play him on the fourth line, you give him, you know, $800,000 or $1 million, and that's it. And you say, hope you can play half the game just like you did this year. And it's icing on the cake if he does. And if not, then oh well. But I think, you know, you sort of got to move on without JR. You can't assume he's going to be in the lineup. You see what you can get out of him, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah, I'm all for having JR back, and I think Rob Blake's coming back. I thought they made that really clear at State of the Sharks,
mm-hmm.
but I hope you're right on the money. I just don't think you are. I think he's going to be making $4 million at least.
You think so?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Mike Greer, I think we both agree on this.
Peace out,
my
friend. Thanks for one good year of your 3 years.
I'll give him 2 good years.
No.
It's Greer or Moen, and at this point, I'd rather have Moen. I don't think you can't keep both of those guys. So
yeah, they serve the same purpose, and if you're going to be adding that Chris Neal, LaPerriere, Ruutu type, then you don't need them both. So, you know, Mitchell is centering a line of Travis Moen and Chris Neal type player. So
I hope so.
No to Greer, especially if he's going to be making like $2 million or something.
Yeah.
Absolutely
okay.
not.
Let's go to restricted free agents. We've got a lot of those, so maybe we should start at the top here because we're getting low on time. But to me, the number one restricted guy that we need to make sure we lock up for a number of years, and maybe we can get a good deal, is Torrey Mitchell. I would put Torrey Mitchell ahead of Ryan Clough at this point in terms of the guys that we have to sign.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think... you have a pretty high likelihood of getting Mitchell to sign sort of a Pavelski type deal, maybe even a little bit longer. Mm-hmm. If you could lock him up to, you know, 3 years, $6 million.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a huge raise for Torrey Mitchell. I think McClellan feels like he's a major important part of what the Sharks are going to be doing in the future. So yes, Torrey Mitchell, I think that's a given. They're not going to let him get away.
And Clough, you think they will let him get away? He might get some interest.
Yeah, just in this economic climate, I just don't see anybody making that sort of bananas Dustin Penner
I don't think it's going to happen either. Because now they're talking about the cap maybe even coming down this coming year.
Someone might offer, you know, last year Steve Bernier got $2.5 million offer sheet.
Mm-hmm.
So someone might offer that.
Then you pay him.
Yeah, sure. He's arbitration eligible too. Klow was the last one to sign of the regulars last year. I think we can expect that that's not going to be resolved quickly. That he might say, let's go to arbitration. It's possible.
What about Marcel Gotch?
Bye.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that we can do better. I think that he's part of the lack of competitive spirit problem.
Do you even make him a qualifying offer?
No.
I think you make him a qualifying offer. Because I think someone might want him.
Don't you? But then if no one wants him, you make a qualifying offer, then you can just walk away from it?
I don't think so. No, you got to pay him.
I don't see the point of having him on the team anymore. It's about making changes at this point. And, you know, while he's not the biggest problem, you know, I think that we can do better. I think we can do better than Marcel Gotch.
All right. And then we got a whole list of guys in the minors. We got Cashbar and Dakers and Morris and Staubitz and Armstrong and Grice. Who's the big guys you got to keep there?
Well, I think most of these guys are not arbitration eligible, so it doesn't matter. You know, guys like Grice, Dakers, they're not going anywhere because we control their rights exclusively, so they have to sign. They are stuck with us.
We give them a qualifying offer and they stay.
A player like Brad Staubitz, he's arbitration eligible. I think, you know, the Sharks are definitely going to give him a raise. It wouldn't be surprising if they gave him like a 2-year, $1.4 million deal.
Yeah,
you something. Throw him a bone.
You want to give him a good look, too. I think that's another thing they made clear at State of the Sharks. They want to give this guy an opportunity to make the team, see if he can pick up his game and find a way into the lineup. So I think Staubitz is definitely sticking around.
Seemed like a player that they seemed also be pretty high on is Riley Armstrong. I keep hearing he's an agitator.
Yeah.
I didn't see that from when he came up. He played well in the playoffs, but a player who is arbitration eligible, dude, if we're going to end on this note,
okay.
What are you doing with Lucas Cashbar at this point, dude?
You see if you can trade him. I think he's run his course. I mean, this is a guy that was one of the top prospects in the Sharks organization 2 years ago, managed to blow almost every possible opportunity he got in the big club. So it's too bad. I feel bad for the guy. You know, I mean, he's a high draft pick. He looks like a good player. He's kind of like a quadruple A player. He's like pretty good in the AHL, but he's just not good in the NHL. It's just too bad. And I don't know if the Sharks need a guy like that, especially when you got some young guys at the AHL level like Logan Couture that you want to play a lot of minutes. So I think Lucas Cashbar's tenure as a Shark has come to an end.
I'm shedding a silent, invisible tear.
Another thing that's come to the end is our podcast. I hope you enjoyed it this week. We'll be back again next week at Dudes on Hockey. You can check out our blog at sharks.hockeyanalysis.com, and we'll be talking to you again next week, same time, same place.
Do you hear that, dude? Do you hear that?
What?
The sound of Carolina beats.
Think the show sucks? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.